Chodesh Tov Mevorach world, and a happy 15th day of the Omer. So today's daf in Masechet Makot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof. And we had just learned yesterday that Rabbi Yochanan had this amazing Chiddush, that if the Meiser had never been, we're talking about Meiser Sheni, if the Meiser Sheni had never been Re'eh Pnei Abayit, then there was never a problem of actually eating it. Well, I shouldn't say it wasn't a problem, but there would be no chiyuv of malchus if you eat it outside of Yerushalayim. Why? Because on the one hand, the Torah says, "Lifnei Hashem Elokecha tochlenu," and then, in accordance with where you're supposed to be eating, it says, "Lo tuchal lecho b'sharecha." So only where it was already, "Lifnei Hashem Elokecha tochlenu," then you can say, "Lo tuchal." But where we can't talk about, you know, not by Yerushalayim, so we can't talk about Lifnei Hashem Lokecha Tochlenu, so then the Lo Taseh doesn't apply. Today we got up to the bottom of Yotet Amud Beit, where we have a kasha on that svara of Rabbi Yochanan, Meisve. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kohen, Shalta biyado teina shel tevel. So a kohen manages to get hold of a teina. And this teina, this fig, is tevel completely. And so all he has to do in order to be able to eat it is he can say, he can be miyached the place where the trumas and maisers are. So let's say he says, teina zu trumata buukza. So the truma part has to be over here at the oketz, at the place where the stem is. This is because he holds that you need to be miyached. This is a machlokas, whether it needs to be absolutely recognizable. But this Gemara is saying, in order to be mafresh to truma, even though you don't need to actually take it out physically and put it somewhere else, but it needs to be truma in the sense that it's identifiable, as this is the specific place where the truma is. And then he says, my serishon should be in the northern side, and my sasheni should be on the southern side. This is assuming that he's holding it up and he's facing towards the east-west. And now, if it's a shnat my sasheni and he's in Yerushalayim, or if it's my sarani year, there is no my sasheni and he's outside of Yerushalayim, if he ate this te'ina, he still left out one very important piece. That sounds like he covered everything, but think about it. He left the Maaser Rishon without taking off Trumat Maaser. Maaser Rishon without taking off Trumat Maaser is Tevel. So even if he does everything right and he eats it, he's still going to be Chayev Malkus once. For what? For eating Tevel. The Zar She'achla, but if he was a non-Kohen, and then he had no right to eat it, the truma, so he would be chayev twice. He would be loike for the tefel, and he would be loike for the truma that was miyuchad over here in the oketz. If he had eaten it before this kohen had taken off the maaser rishon, then there would have been only one chiyuv, which was for tefel. But now that there's also truma, there's a chiyuv of tefel and truma. So actually, this fellow made it worse by trying to take off all of the matanais and leaving in only the Trumat Maaser. Now, okay, all of this is fascinating. Very nice dinim for Zroim. What does that have to do with our question here? Because since the Braita specified that if he were a Kohen and he was inside of Yerushalayim, and therefore there was no problem if he had eaten it, other than the fact that he had left the Trumas Maaser. But what's the mashmaut? That if the Kohen would have been outside of Yerushalayim, if he was Bigvulin, then he would have been Chayev also for eating Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. Even though there's no indication that we're talking about a case where he was Re'eh Pnei Achoma before, so Gufa, that must be the Chiddush. I mean, look, there's nothing new in this braisa here, correct? The only new thing is this one point, and that is that only if he's in Yerushalayim is he loike shtayim. But if he would have been outside of Yerushalayim, he would be loike shalosh. So the whole point of the braisa, therefore, The only chiddush of the Braita, therefore, is to tell me that Rabbi Yochanan is wrong, and that even in the event that you would have been outside of Yerushalayim and had never brought this Maaser Sheni into Yerushalayim, eating Maaser Sheni out of Yerushalayim under any odd circumstances would be an Isser Lav, and he would have gotten Malkus again. So this seems to show pretty clearly that Rabbi Yochanan is wrong, totally wrong, because here it's Afa Gavda Lo Ra'a Panei HaChoma. Well, I mean, how do you know that the price's case isn't talking about where he had brought it into Yerushalayim? Now he took it out. It's not necessarily saying that it wasn't in Yerushalayim. What's the matter with you? I just explained to you, there's no point in this Braita unless it's to tell me that Rabbi Yochanan is wrong. So you tell me, well, it's talking about a case where he brought it. So then what do I need the Braita for? Again, this is childishly obvious, isn't it? He did exactly, I mean, anybody could tell you this. I don't need a Braita to tell me. So Yochi Maila Memra. So what would be the Chiddush? There would be no Chiddush. I'm telling you, the only possible Chiddush is the fact that you would be chayav on eating Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim, despite the fact that it had never been in Yerushalayim. That's the point. No, I'll tell you another Chiddush, without its disproving Rabbi Yochanan. It's talking about that he had brought the fig into Yerushalayim, yes, but he did not bring it in after he had taken off the Maaser Sheni. So in that sense, the Maaser Sheni never saw, because there was no Maaser Sheni yet, he didn't take off Maaser Sheni. So the Maaser Sheni was never Ro'a Pnei HaChoma, right? And that is a Chiddush. It's a tremendous Chiddush. Why? Because you would think that the Maaser Sheni is not called Maaser Sheni until it's actually mufrash. And the fact is that this is actually a very important machlokas. It is called the machlokas about whether matanot shelo hurmu kuhurmu damyan. And when Gabi gets here, assuming he'll get here, somebody please remind me to make sure that he gets this written down. So, do we say that the incipient matanot are already have the din of those matanot? So I bring the tevel. There's no Maaser Sheni, but there's incipient Maaser Sheni. I just haven't been mafresh it. So the question is whether a matana such as Maaser Sheni is considered to be Maaser Sheni before I even took it off. Matanot shelo hurmu, they haven't been set aside. Are they or are they not? Kuhurmu damya. That would be the Chiddush. That's a very important Chiddush. So it's talking about Kagonda Ailo Betivlayo. They brought the fig in. He had never taken off Maaser Sheni yet. And the Chiddush is that even so, if it would ever be eaten outside of Yerushalayim, it would be as if the Maaser Sheni had already been Ro'a Pnei HaChoma, which would prove Matanot Shelo Hurmu Kamo Shehurmu Damya. That's the Chiddush. The Kavan of the Braita was not to tell me a Chiddush that Rabbi Yochanan was wrong. So, yeah, that's a very nice Chiddush, except that it's not possible. Because the author of the Braita is Rabbi Yossi. And it happens to be that Rabbi Yossi holds that Matanot Shelo Hurmu are not Kamisha Hurmu Damya. So how can you tell me that's the Chiddush of the Braita? Ask the Gemara of Vesava Rabbi Yossi Matanot Shelo Hurmu Kamisha Hurmu Damya. You're trying to tell me that Rabbi Yossi, who wrote the Braita, is telling us the din about the Matanot Shelo Kamisha Hurmu. But there's a little bit of a problem to say such a thing, because in Masechet Maaser Sheni, we learned Beferish in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi. It's the same Rabbi Yossi that said over this Braita, right? He was the one who authored the Braita. What did he say? Odech laku beit shamay u beit hillel al perot shelo nigmaru melachton ve'avru b'Yerushalayim sheyipadeh ma'aser sheni shelem ve'yeachel b'chol makom. There never was any machlokes beit shamay and beit hillel about the question of something that had not been Nikmar Malachtan, so wasn't even Ro'ui to be taking out the Matanot. And that means it hadn't yet come to the point where I would have been able to take out Maaser Sheni, because it was before the Gemar Malacha. You cannot make Matanais before the Gemar Malacha. So in that case, if they had passed through Yerushalayim, and then afterwards they were Nigmar Malachtan, and you now take off the Maaser Sheni, you could eat it wherever you want. That's for sure. You could be proud and need it. Why? Because the fact that it was in Yerushalayim is of zero significance, because it was not matanot shelo hurmu. It was actually not roi to be hurmu at all. So that, forget about that. You know what the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is? If the peirot were actually ready to be meiser, so now the incipient meiser sheni is there, then they were nigmar malachtam, and you brought, this is like our case where the fig was brought into Yerushalayim, and it could have been meiser sheni, but it wasn't. So over there, Beit Shammai says, well, the meiser sheni can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, because according to Beit Shammai, even though I didn't take off the Meiser Sheni, it's as if I took off the Meiser Sheni, which is what we're claiming that Rabbi Yossi had said. That's what you were saying. You were saying the Chiddush of the Braisa of Rabbi Yossi is exactly that point, that Matanot Shelo Hurmu, once it was in Yerushalayim and it was roy to be taken, so then you're not allowed to eat it anywhere. And who is the one that Rabbi Yossi is attributing that to? Beit Shammai. Well, obviously, Beit Shammai is not going to be Rabbi Yossi's choice of paskening like, right? Because Beit Shammai b'moka Beit Hillel ain't a Mishnah. And Beit Hillel b'feirish says, doesn't matter. You could still be poded. You're telling me that Rabbi Yossi quotes Beit Shammai as being the one who says, matanor shelo humu love kuhumu damya. Because he says it doesn't matter. You can still eat it wherever you want if you're poded, correct? And here you're claiming the opposite. I mean, he's talking about matanor shelo humu kumishuhumu damya. So then how in the world would he have Beit Hillel saying that even though it had passed through Yerushalayim, you can eat it wherever you want with Bidyain, or Kotul Mechitzot? If Matanot Shelo Hurmu, as if they're already there, then the Meiser Sheni was already there. So then how could Beit Hillel say that you would be able to eat it outside of Yerushalayim once the walls of Yerushalayim already subsumed it? There you go. So you see that that's not the point. So I'm going back to what I said originally. This is a problem for Rabbi Yochanan because it cannot be that the Chiddush of this Braita, Akliber Rabbi Yossi, is that Matanot Shelo Hurmu Kamishu or Medamya, and therefore we're left with only one possibility. The single Chiddush of this Braita is that Rabbi Yochanan, who claims that if it wasn't Reya Pnei Achoma, that there's no problem in it's being eaten, it's not allowed to eat it outside Yerushalayim, is wrong. Here it says he would have gotten 3 malkiyos, you see? Oh, my rabbi, not necessarily. I'll tell you why. You're assuming that kol tuhu mechitzot would be an absolute and you would get malkus on it, right? And the reason you're saying that, I mean, it's very easy to see why you're saying that, because, I mean, we know that the din of the mechitza of Yerushalayim is absolutely, I mean, a diaraita, you can only eat it in Yerushalayim. That's a beferish of pasuk. I mean, I was going to argue on that. So then that means that the choma of Yerushalayim is the critical element in being matir, the achilas meiser sheni. But your mistake is that you think that because of that, the secondary halacha of the Mechitzot Yerushalayim, which is what? That you can never be poda once something had been in Yerushalayim. You think that that's also diraita. But it's not. It's a derabbanan, an extension of the din of Mechitza for achila. Therefore, says Rabba, you're right about the fact that the mechitza le'echol is the araita. And therefore, you cannot, it's true that it would be, there would be no way, once you come in to Yerushalayim, there'd be no way you can eat it outside of Yerushalayim. And there, Rabbi Yossi actually says that once the Meiser Sheni comes into Yerushalayim, if you would eat it outside, then you would be chayev, and that's, however, that's if you didn't pay to it. But mechitza liklot, the din that once it saw Yerushalayim, you can never take off a pidyon on it, that's not true. You can't eat it outside of Yerushalayim, but you could take off its kedusha and then eat it. And that's all that Beit Hillel said. Sheyipadeh, you could take off the pidyon, and now you can eat it wherever you want. Exactly. So eating outside of Yerushalayim once it has been been inside Yerushalayim, there's a din of kaltu mechitzos. But your raya over here is from the fact that Beit Hillel said that you can be poted outside Yerushalayim. That's a drabbanan. And the only time that the Rabbanan made their takona to extend the din of mechitzos to the halacha of klitat mechitzot to prevent pityan, they only made that when it was really Meiser Sheni that had been in Yerushalayim. Then you have to treat it as you could ever be put it. But the Rabbanan did not extend their gezeira so far to say that if it's still tevel and it's matanot shelo hurmu, they're not going to make ad kedei kach a gezeira on that because it wasn't Meiser Sheni yet. So for incipient Meiser Sheni, they were not goes to the din of klita. It was only for actual Meiser Sheni they were goes to the din of klita, and that's what Beis Hillel was talking about. So therefore, Beis Hillel is actually going to allow you to be put in the Meiser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim as long as at the time that it had been in Yerushalayim, it was only an incipient Meiser Sheni, and it was matanot shelo hurmu. Fine. So then if that's the case, then the idea would be that we've got a way of understanding it, aliba de Rabbi Yossi, and that the chiddush in the Braita actually was that matanot shelo hurmu kamishu hurmu damya, if they were nogea adiyaraisa. Fine, okay. So then that would be the chiddush. Ravina Amar, listen, the whole question is wrong. You're assuming that the case was that there's absolutely no way for us to find a chiddush. It's not true. We can easily find a chiddush. You know what the case is? The case is talking about, it says over here, only because it's in Yerushalayim. If it'd be outside Yerushalayim, you'd be chayev three. What's the chiddush? Says Ravina, I'll tell you what the chiddush is. The chiddush over here is that we're talking about a case where the guy was carrying his Meiser Sheni on his stick, the runaway kid. He's carrying his Meiser Sheni on that stick. It's not in Yerushalayim. He is in Yerushalayim. The Meiser Sheni is still on the stick outside of the Chumah. So what Rabbi Yossi was saying is that the chiddush is that even though the stick never came into Yerushalayim, the Meiser Sheni never physically came into Yerushalayim, it's usher to eat it outside of Yerushalayim, and if you would, you would have gotten an additional third malchus. That's the chiddush. And therefore, Ravina basically is saying that the question that yesterday Rav Papa entertained, which was, what would be the din if it was on a stick? Would that also be part of Milu Echa? He holds that we were poshet at Abaya. And in fact, we could be poshet right from here by asking, what's the chiddush of this Braita? After all, we know that you would be chayev if you ate it outside of Yerushalayim if you were inside. The chiddush is that he wasn't literally inside. The chiddush was that the stick was outside and afalp can you're considered to be inside. So according to this, we have nothing at all in this braita that reflects on Rabbi Yochanan's halacha that without Riyas HaChomah, there would be no iser of eating it outside of Yerushalayim, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan stands.
Rabbi, I found that the technical term is called a hobo stick. That's how it's described.
A hobo stick. My gosh. What's wrong with a runaway kid? It's much more romantic. Ah. I'm telling you, they're ganging up on me.
That's
left
the other
and right.
Option. That's the other option for the running away from home. Use this bag. A red and white spotted hanging tie to a stick.
Okay, now, Mr. Gavi, you have arrived late, and we had a very important Gavi rule here. So please take out your trusty pen and paper if you still own one of those. And make sure to add this to your Gavi list. And that was Matanot Shelo Hurmu. Now put into brackets Lav and end brackets Kimishu Hurmu Damyan. So we've got a machlokas about what the din would be about an incipient matana, whether it's considered to actually be present. We spoke about it in terms of bringing a fig into Yerushalayim that was still tevel, whether it would be considered to be kotu mechitzot or not. Okay, this brings us up to a moment of Sir Richard, who's gone. My goodness. Yes, I think Gavi was shaking his head about that. He's all ready to present it. Okay, that's good. And we've got a missing duck. So I guess if Fangton or Zuck the Hela Commissioner. Okay. So let's continue our next list of cases that is completely different, Sergey, in which there is a Chiev Malkus is for being over on the Isser of Akoreach Korecha Birosho. So the Torah says, Lo Tikrechu Korecha, person, but actually it's a very beautiful presentation, Banimatem Lashem Elokechem, you are children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore you have to treat yourselves with respect that is due to the children of the Melech. Lo Titkodedu, you're not allowed to cut yourselves, and you're not allowed to be Tasimu Korecha, you cannot scrape away hair to make a bald spot, Bein Einechem Lemet. So people used to express the depth of their despair and sorrow of the death of a loved one, they would take their fingers and scratch their hair to the point that they would actually make a bald spot as a sign of avelus and expressing their pain. And that, if you do that, you would be chayev malchus. The next thing that you would be chayev malchus on would be someone who is makif pa'at rosho. So this is, again, there are two completely different parshas about this. One of them is a reference to Kohanim, specifically in Emorah HaKohanim, where it says, Lo takifu pa'at roshchem, v'lo tashchit et pa'at zikanecha. And the other one, which is found in Re'eh, is basically the same halacha, but this is said for all Yisrael. So, okay, we're going to take a look at the combination of the limudim and see how they're learned one from the other. But first, we'll just talk about it in the parsha, the sense of the pasuk that's brought, and then we'll see the psukim that we run into trouble with. Now, someone who is mashchit pa'at zekano also was in the same pasuk. We're not quite sure what the difference is between a pa'at harosh or a pa'at hazakan, and we're not sure why when it talks about the pa'at harosh, it doesn't say mashchit, it says makif. Makif means to sort of make something round, and mashchit means to destroy. Now, this might be very different. So the hamakif pa'at harosh, what we're talking about is, if you put your hand behind your ears and you move it along the line of the skin behind those ears, and you move it straight up to meet the next bare patch of skin, which is basically the beginning of your forehead, then you will note that what got in the way was the thin piece of hair on the temple, right? So you would be going straight up like this. And the only cross, that the only area you crossed was right there on the temple. Now, that is hakafa, because this is a round, you can make yourself a round skin all around your head, including your forehead, behind your ears, the back and bottom of your head, and it would never touch any hair except for that little piece on your temple. So if you take off that little piece, which was quite popular to make the classic asterisk picture of what the Roman would look like, and if you do that, you would be over on rounding, makif. That's what we call it, hakafa. As far as mashchit ba'ad, yes, the friar haircut, exactly. So, as far as mashchit ba'ad zikano, the Gemara is going to explain what is considered to be the pa'at hasakan, and the pashtas, which is actually how we paskin, even though it's big machlokasin, the pashtas is that hashchata, in fact, would only be utilizing a razor, where you actually get to the, you tear away the hair at the level of the skin, and hakafa would mean even if you would be using a scissors, but you made the bald spot to go through the temple with the scissors. You would be chayav. V'asoreit srita achat al hamet, There's also an iser to cut yourself in any way. For a maid, you would also be chayv, even for one srita. And the reason that we say this is because we're going to see that you are chayv even for one srita, but when it was made for five different mesim, the incredible chiddush is that each one of the kavanas of the srita for the mate would be mechayev you separately. So let's say, sarat srita achat al chamisha metim, or if you made chamesh sritot al meit echad, you would be chayev separate malkus for every single one of these. And we're going to see how we know that and what exactly it's referring to. And we're talking about the halacha of srita, specifically, because that's the mokar, and the mokar does not apply to the case of karacha. The srita is not in the hair, and the karacha means specifically a bald spot in the hair. So we're going to go through the psukim, and we'll see. Now, if you did the akafat arosh, since you probably are among the statistically rove of people that have two sides to your head, then you would be over on two separate lavin, because there are two separate areas that are considered to be bat roshchem, achat mikan ve'achat mikan. If you ripped out with a razor ala zakan, you would be chayev five separate malkias. Why? Because there are two pa'at zakan on shtayim mikan on one side of your beard, and shtayim mikan on the other side of your beard. And then there's the chin, which is achat milamata. Reb Eliezer, I mean, im nitu kulam ka'achat inu chayev al achat. If you took your entire, shaved off your entire beard with one hatra'ah, so then you would only be chayev one. So these areas, there's a lot of machlokas about the specific issues of where it is, but basically what we're talking about is directly underneath that area that we were speaking about before, which is your temples, right at the end of the ear level of the temple. It's actually, I shouldn't say the end of the ear. If you put your finger near the end of your ear, you'll feel the joint of the upper jaw and lower jaw. Move your lip, open up your jaw, and you'll feel it moving in and out, right? That is the end of the area of the Pa'at HaRosh and the beginning of the first area of Pa'at HaZakan. So that means if you would take off the entire piece, which are the Pe'ot HaRosh, which we call the Pe'ot, and you would continue to shave downward if you were using a razor, then the downward would be mechayev separately because it would be an additional pa'at hazakan here. That's a continuation of the pa'at harosh. So that's the one on either side. The one on the chin is also pretty clear where that would be. And then the other one, there we have a little bit of a machlokas, whether it's specifically the back part where the beard continues back, sort of towards the back of your head along the bottom of your jaw, or it's the front area. Fine. These are machlokas in a lot of different shitas. In any event, the chin is the other one. So you've got two on either side, plus one in the middle, milamata. Ve'eno chayav achi yitlenu bitar. You're not chayav unless you cut with a razor. We'll see what that means. But as I said, most of the Rishonim hold that this is Nogea, only the part about the beard. Mashenken, when it came to the Ba'at HaRosh, then we don't paskin like the Rambam. The Rambam holds that the Isser about Peot is also Ba'at HaRosh, is also, like it says, Eno Chayev Achit Lenabitar. The Pashtus of the Mishnah was referring to both cases, and that's how the Rambam paskins. However, Lemaisa, we are Makbid to go according to the Rosh and the others who argue with the Rambam, and they say that this is only a reference to the beard, but you would not even be able to cut off the peot, even with scissors. Rebbe Eliezer says it does not have to be a razor. Even if you destroyed the hair by using a carpenter plane, I mean, which is ridiculous, right? I mean, you probably you know, ended up in the hospital, but nonetheless, you would still be chayiv, because that would be considered to be hashchata. And he doesn't hold that it needs to be the type of hashchata that's also called yigalechu. Now we're going to see the diukim in the Gemara, that when the end of psak is, it has to be hashchata, but it also has to be derech giluach, and this is not considered to be derech giluach. So let's take these one by one. Tana Rabbana, since it says in the Torah Beferish, lo yikrochu karacha. So now, the lo yikrochu tells me, you might have thought if it wouldn't have said that additional word karacha, yochal afilu karach arba v'chamesh krichot lo yeh chayev ala achat. You would have thought you're only chayev one malchus, no matter how many of these little bald spots you make. Therefore, it says lo yikrochu karacha, to tell me that you would be chayev on every single karacha that you make, you'd be chayev separately. Now, of course, we have to think about what this is talking about. Is it talking about that you got separate hatraot? I mean, it's sort of obvious. I don't need a pasuk for that. The Gemara is going to be going through this. So this is a chayev al kol karacha v'karacha. And why does it say birosham? Birosham ma'atam lomar? Because when it comes to the pasuk in Re'eh, which is talking about not Kohanim, as I mentioned before, the whole parsha is repeated. It appears in Emor in terms of the Kohanim, and then it's repeated in Re'eh in terms of all B'nai Yisrael. Now, the Lashon for all B'nai Yisrael is Lo Titkodedu and Lo Tasimu Karacha Bein Einechem Lemeit. Okay, so we've got some interesting differences over here, as we'll see in the Gemara in detail, but over here it says Bein Einechem, which is mashma, only in the part of your hair, which is in the direct line of if you would be wearing your tefillin there, that would be Bein Einechem, right? The Totafot Bein Einecha. Where's Bein Einecha? Not in the middle between your two eyes, but Bein Einecha is on your scalp, and at the hairline between the two eyes, if you would draw a line. So since it says it there in Re'eh Bein Einechem, you might think that you're only chayev if it's in that place specifically. Yochel lo yeh chayav ela Bein Einechem bilvad. How do you know that if you make a karacha anywhere at all on the head, that the din is, it's still going to be a chiyav malchus? Talmud Lomar, therefore, in Emor, where we're talking about the Kohanim, it says Birosham, to make it clear, L'rabot Korosh. But wait a minute. I mean, I could say that that's a special din in Kohanim. Look, Kohanim can't marry women that anybody else could marry. I mean, what are you going to say? Because a Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee, so nobody's allowed to marry a divorcee? It's the same thing is true over here. If the Torah says that a Kohen can't make a karacha anywhere on their head, that means that other people can't make a karacha anywhere on their head? No. For other people, maybe it's really only Bein Einechem. And for the Kohanim specifically, the Torah adds additionally surim, same way it does with all everything. Shariba v'emakatuv, mitzvot yeterot. We have all kinds of extra mitzvahs about tuma and about being allowed to go to a funeral and about the dinim of which women can be married. So what's so strange to find two separate dinim, one for Kohanim and Emor, Aaron and the Kohanim, and that is much more chomor. So there it's your whole head. How do you know Yisroel minayin? Ah, the truth is, it is a gzeres shava. Ne'amar kan, so in Re'eh it says, koracha bein einechem. And in Emor it says also, ne'amar lahalan koracha. So that gzeres shava tells us just like there. In Emor, it's referring to chayav al kol koracha v'koracha. So it adds the word koracha, lo tasimu v'koracha. It means every single one. And your chayev al harosh, and it also says haroshcha, which is anywhere on your head. Your chayev, just like the place Bein Einechem, afkan. So when we're talking about in Re'eh, about every Yisrael, you'd be chayev al kol, koracha v'koracha. The, obviously, it's different. If you say lo yikrechu koracha, then the word koracha is extra. If you're talking about the Pusik in Re'eh, which is a reference to a Stam Ben Yisrael, it doesn't say Lo Yikrechu Korecha. It says Lo Tasimu Korecha. Obviously, then the Korecha is not extra. But, what's the point of using the verb that means not to make a Korecha and then to add the object Korecha? That's ridiculous. So that's coming to tell me that you're chayav on every Korecha. But that only applies to Kohanim, if it wouldn't be for the Gzeirah Shavah. Comes along the Gzeirah Shavah and says, look, you got to learn out both of these from each other. So first of all, we know from the Kohen it's Kol HaRosh, Yisrael Kol HaRosh. We know from the Kohanim that we have an extra word Korecha to tell me that you're chayav on each Korecha. Same thing is true by Yisrael. You're chayav al kol Korecha, the Korecha. But when it comes to the Kohen, it says lo yikruchu Korecha. It doesn't say al hamet, but when it says about the re'eh, about the Yisrael, it says lo tasimu Korecha b'nechem al hamet. So just like by the Yisrael, it uses the word Korecha and defines it only if it's for a mate. But let's say a person is in tremendous pain because of the stock market collapse or his ship just went down, whatever, and he's tearing at himself and he's miserable and he's, that is not the Isser of Korecha. And therefore, Avkan al hamet. So that means that the two sugyas in Emoron Re'eh, the Kohanim and Bnei Yisrael in general, are learned one from the other. Okay, so now let's try to understand what exactly we're referring to when we say that you're chayev on each one of them. You make four or five karachot. So what are we talking about? You make them one after the other? That we need this pasuk karacha. And he got a separate hatra'ah? I don't need a pasuk for that. Anytime that you do an Isser Lav with a separate Hatra'ah, you'd be chayav on each Maisa of that Lav, right? So without any separate Pusik about Korachas, it can't mean that. So it's Pshit. Okay, so maybe it's talking about, the Chiddush is, that you made only one Hatra'ah, and then you went ahead and you made five separate Korachot. And there was no separate Hatra'ah. But then you actually would not be chayav, you see? Because, look, the Mishnah that we're going to have later on, it says there that a Nazir that's drinking wine all day long, and you gave him a hatra'ah at the first time that he drank, even if he keeps drinking the whole day, he would only be chayav one malchus. If each time he was about to drink, he got a separate hatra'ah, and they told him, Don't drink, al tishteh, and he continues each time to take an additional drink, then the separate hatra'ah is mechayev him a separate one. But with one hatra'ah only, you would only be chayev once. And don't try to tell me, this is, the Ramban goes into this in detail, don't try to tell me that that's goof of the chiddush of the extra word korecha. That even if you only got one hatra'ah, that you would be chayiv on each one of your meisim without a hatra'ah. That, says the Ramban, is impossible. When the Torah adds a specific halacha, let's say here, with this additional word of korecha, it doesn't change legal procedures. It's not going to come to tell you that this is an exception to the legalities of how to give hatra'ah. And even if you only give hatra'ah at the beginning, you're going to be chayav each one. That's simply not the way that a limud in the Torah works. It has to be telling me something about the nature of the korecha, not something about the nature of the way in which I give hatra'ah. So therefore, it can't be that the case in the Mishnah is where he only got one hatra'ah, because where you have separate lavim, such as the case of the shtiyah of the nazir, you would actually not be chayav if you only got one hatra'ah at the beginning of the day. So that can't be the case. So where would there be a case that we need to have a extra pasuk, lo yikrechu korecha, that we need that extra korecha? Where is that case? Case is very simple. A guy takes this powerful depilatory, puts it on all his five fingers, takes his five fingers, puts it across his head in five different spots, being very efficient at making five different bald spots on his head all at the same time. So for that, I need to know. The sacha meshetz baot nasha. So he puts this nasha, that's the a type of cream that burns off the hair. V'yuzvinu bevatachat. And at one time, he went and he put his fingers on his head. And therefore, as far as the hatra'ah is concerned, that single hatra'ah was obviously on the entire maisa. So it's not a problem of hatra'ah. The only question is it considered to be one act of making a karacha? I mean, you just went ahead and did one act. That's the extra pasuk karacha, that the separate location of the karacha is a separate malchus. That's what the karacha comes to tell me. And that would be actually the only place that we would have this limud. Now, what's fascinating is that some of the Rishonim point out, so then what's the point of the Beinei Necha anyway? If we're going to end up learning from the Emor that Beinei Necha doesn't mean Beinei Necha, so why the heck say Beinei Necha? It doesn't apply to anybody, not to the Kohen, not to the Yisrael. So the amazing suggestion by some of the Rishonim is that that is to make it clear what Beinei Necha means. The Ayuda Totafot Beinei Necha cannot mean what the Tzedukim say. Put it between your eyes. That's what they hold. Because here we see how the Torah uses the word Beinei Necha. And since it's talking about Karacha on the Rosh, then it can't be talking about Beinei Necha. Literally, it would have to mean the area on the Rosh, which is Beinei Necha. That's where to put your tefillin. So that would be amazing. So in other words, the Divrei Torah Ashirim b'Makom Acher to teach us how to relate to the head and to the parts of the head that are identified in various mitzvahs. Now, this would be, again, a perfect parak in which to clarify that. Okay, now, you said you're chayav on each one of these karachot, but what's considered to be a bald spot? How large is that bald spot? So kamashir karacha, so Ravuna Omer, kedei sheyera em mirosha. Basically, you take out enough hair that it exposes the scalp underneath, which could mean that it's easy to see or that it's hard to see. That there's also machlokas in the Rishonim. It means if you look at it up close, it doesn't mean if you look at it from afar, you could see it. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that is a shear of kigris. And the shear of kigris, that is something that we learnt about, indeed, when it comes to the dinim of tzaras, and that is, again, a very fortunate correlation of the Daf Yomi with the hachana that we have for Tazria Mitzora that everybody's preparing. So over there, we talk about the shear kigris, and we talk about the number of sarot that are affected, sara fachlavan, and so on. It's very nogea this sugya as well. So if it's a shear of kigris, and that would be, in fact, now there's different girsaot over here, and the fact is it looks like it doesn't belong, but if you take a look in the Rishonim, it does appear, these words, Kitanoi, Kama Shir Koracha, Kigris, Acherim Omrim, Kadesh Yera Emirosho. So therefore, in this Girsa, it has both of the Shitas, Ravuna Shita and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Shita. Now the truth is, there's another Shita, Omre Vyura Bar Chaviva, there's actually Sholosh Tanoi, Tlata Tanoi, Chad Omer Kigris, Chad omer kedei sheyera emirosho, v'chad omer kishtei sa'arot. And some take out the word shtei sa'arot of the third shita, and they put in the word bika'adasha, so that instead they say that it's the shear of a ka'adasha, and the shear of an adasha is actually, now this we know for, again from the goyim, so this is what's nogea tazria mitzora, that the shear of a kigris is quite large, and it equals the equivalent of 9 adashim. But the single adasha is 4 sa'arot, and the 2 sa'arot shita would be that it would only be half the size of the adasha. The way to remember it is from the Mishnah in Negoyim, actually. So the difference between the two shitas of the Amoraim in the third Tana, whether it would be Kadasha or it would be Mishte Sarot Girsa is the Machlokas of Baheret Kigris. I mean, the Mishnah of Baheret, the shear of a Baheret is the size of a Gris, which is nine Adashim, and the shear of a Michya is Kadasha, and that's straight out of the Mishnah and the Goyim. So by remembering that, you'll remember what the two Shitas were here in these Tanoim. So it mentions Gris, and it mentions Adasha. So the two Shitas, it mentions Gris, and mentions Kadasha. So that would mean that now I understand that the Adasha is instead of the two hairs and not the Kigris. Tana. Hanotel Melopi Azug. There's another shear that seems to be Nogea bald spots, and that is if you cut a full tip of your scissors on Shabbos, so then you would be chayev on Gozes on Shabbos. What kind of shear is that? Esagamar. Kama Melopi Azug. What's that shear? On Rav Yehuda, it's two hairs. But that can't be, because the Braita talks about different shearing. And it says, L'Shabbos, the shear is Melopi Azug. And for Karacha, the shear is Shtayim, which is two hairs. So that's Mashma. That is two different shiurim, and you're telling me it's the same shiur? No, what Yin Braita means is v'chein l'korach ha'shtayim. And in fact, Tanya Namiochi, Hanotu Belopi Azug b'Shabbat Chayav, your Chayav Achatas for being over on Gozeis, v'kama Belopi Azug shtayim. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, even one hair is also considered to be Gozeis. And the Chachomim are moda to Rebbe Eliezer that if that hair is a particularly important hair. How is it a particularly important hair? Well, this guy has got a beautiful, black, shiny hair, and he's got one white hair in that head. It's driving his wife bananas. What are you getting old? And so he goes to cut out that single white hair. So if he cuts out that single white hair, even the Chachamim Ramayda, that over there, it's a Choshev Ashir. And if you're malakit livanot mitok shechorot, then it's afilu achas, you would be chayev. By the way, davar zeh afilu b'chol aser. You're not allowed to do something like that if you're a male, even during the week. Forget about Shabbos. Mishum shelema lo yilbash gever simlat tisha. So you're not allowed to utilize the way that a woman would fix herself up, and therefore, a man, it's not his derech to be makpid on a white hair. But for women, it is. And therefore, if he starts acting like that, starts pulling out white hairs that he should look younger, he is basically over on lo yilbash. The hamakif pa'at rosho. So the next case that we have is somebody who does the hakafa. So tona tana kami. Oh, sorry. Tona rabbona. Pa'at rosho the corner, so to speak, is a use of a word that we appear also, it means the edge of. We see this from the Gvulais of Eretz Yisrael, where it keeps using the word pa'at. So it talks about the pa'at yam. So it's the yam itself, which is the edge of the Gvul. So pa'at rosho is sof rosho. What is called sof rosho? Ze ha-mashvet zida'av la'chorei ozno l'padachto. So that's somebody who takes off the hair on his temples so that he's got one even straight line that's coming from behind his ears up along his forehead. Tana tana kameder of chista. You should know that it doesn't matter if you are the barber or if you are the customer. Echad ha-makif, echad ha-nikaf, you would get malchus for sitting in the barber chair. So Rav Chista said to the one who told him over the Braita, are you really believe that manda ochel tamre barbila loki? A guy innocently eats some dates out of the little container that they used to put the dates in. Let's give him malchus. I said, a guy is sitting in a barber chair. He's not doing a darn thing. And you're going to give him malchus? He didn't do anything, and therefore, how could you get malchus if it's a lafshein b'maisa? I'll tell you. You know who taught you this braita, and it's not true la halacha. Money, this is Rebbe Yehuda. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, we saw before that he actually says, Lav she'en bo maisa, you are lokin alav, but we don't paskin like that. And because of that, the lo takifu, it means to do a maisa. That's how it's said. So if you want to actually understand this braita, you are going to have to add that Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, that you would be chayav. Rava says not true. If it's the same person who is shaving his own peot off. So there, when it says echad ha-makif, the echad ha-nikaf, it means if he is both the makif and the nikaf, he would be chayav separately for both. That's the chiddush. And that would be going according to everybody. You don't have to say it's going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. And you'd be chayav two times. One is the makif and one of the nikaf. Rav Ashi says, we could be talking about the guy sitting in a barber chair. And it means that he is misayeya. So what he does is, he bends his head in this direction, he bends his head in the other direction, in order to give the barber a place where he's able to do a better job. So once he is participating, and he is a misayeya, then he would be chayav according to everyone. That's the case. And therefore, it would be going also, Divrei HaKol doesn't have to be going according to Rav Yehuda at all. Hamashchit pa'ad zikano. And the next case was, you got to the edge of your beard. Now, what is that? Tanur Rabbanan, the same thing is true of zikano. Zikano is a reference to sof zikano. So it means the outer edge. The shibolet zikano. So according to this, shibolet would be a reference bedavka to the area of the chin. Whereas others learn that it doesn't mean necessarily the chin. It means a place where the hair comes up to an end. So it could mean right there in the back where there's just that little edge underneath your ear. Tanurabona. Hamisaret srita achat. So what we said over there is that you would be chayev, and this is the last of the cases that we had, you would be chayev for every single one of the cases of karacha. And you're chayev on the seret according to who it was made for. And if it's made for five different mason, so then you would be chayev. It's a seret lenefesh. So first of all, says the Braita, you might think that if somebody cuts himself, he would be chayev, even if the reason that he did this was because he's in terrible pain about the stock market collapse. So yochal afilu sarat al beito shenafal, his house collapsed, his svina, his ship went down, he lost everything that he owns. Talmud lomar v'seret la nefesh lo titnu b'vsarchem. It's only la nefesh. Eino chayev ela al hamet bilvat. Where does it say that you would be chayev for each separate one, and it's not considered to just be an overall iser of seret? This is because Talmud lomar viseret, viseret lechayev al kol srita usrita. So it could have said, it's machlokas over here, whether it's from the extra vav that we're talking about, but we're talking about the fact that it should have just said, l'nefesh lo tisretu. So since it says this unusual way, first it defines the seret, and then it says, lo tisretu. So that's l'chayev al-kot srita v'srita. Rabbi Yossi Omer, and how do I know that if you did one srita, and the kavana was for five different people who were killed, and you're making you're in terrible pain over this loss, shu'chayev al-kol achat v'achat, each one of those seratim would be chayev. Now, if you take a look at the Bach, it's not achat v'achat, it's called echad v'achat, because it's talking about the metim, not referring to the srita. Talmud lomar la-nefesh. That's why it says la-nefesh, to tell me that you're chayev on every nefesh. What? It's not coming to tell me you're chayev on every nefesh. You just told me I need that to tell me that you're only chayev if it's for the loss of a life and not if it's for the loss of your ship or your house. So how can you use it for two different things? So how do we have an extra libet over here for Rabbi Yossi to teach me that you're chayev on each nefesh? Where does he see that? Well, that's because Reb Yossi holds that the word gedida, and this is another pasuk, which we have in Re'e, that says, lo titgodedu. That's the same pasuk of lo tasimu koracha. Lo titgodedu, so lo titgodedu, says Reb Yossi, means srita. And over there it says, lo titgodedu, velo tasimu koracha, b'nei nechem lameit. And this was said for Kol Yisrael. So then, if that's the case, maybe one is more mashma biyad, one is more mashma using a scissors, a knife or something. And it says over there, lameit. Lo tasimu koracha b'nei nechem lameit, or lo titgodedu lameit. So because of that, the lanefesh, we basically have two separate psukim. So since we use lameit over here, that tells me only for the mate, in which case lanefesh I don't need, because lanefesh means the same thing. It must mean to tell me every single nefesh. Okay, Rabosai, a lovely Rosh Chodesh, and a lovely 15th day of the Omer, and a lovely continued hachana of the Parshas HaShavua, so that we can get all of these separate dinim interrelated over here that have to do with hair and shiurim of hair. Again, remarkably, it can't be a coincidence that we got to worry about our own hair during this period in which we're learning about exactly the issur not to cut your hair. And this is, of course, the period of the Omer. So we'll put it all together, Bezrat Hashem, when we meet to discuss the Inyonim. Meanwhile, I wish you a Chodesh Tov and Besuras Teves and a continued 15th day of the Omer. Keep saying that way in case anybody forgot. You know, it's always a nice way to remember. And there's a mitzvah to restate it in the day anyway. So that's why I sound a little bit repetitious. So a happy 15th day of the Omer to all. Kol Tov Lechem. Chodesh Tov.